That's good. Hi, folks. My name is Tristan Hudak. I'm with a company called Ag Biotech. We're based out of the Northeast U.S. Have been for about 25 years now, and have recently started to expand westward and have expanded into this biological market. So we've optimized one product that we designed for nutrient availability as a biofertilizer, as a seed treatment, or as an in-furrow application, and has a number of advantages that we'll get into over the course of this presentation. So we'll start off with biofertilizers in general, how they work, why they work, some of the modes of action, get into the actives of bioseed and how they, why each strain in this consortium was selected. We'll dive into the advantages and maybe if we have some time, go into the results that we've had in the field. So this image in the top left here, I think, does a good job of showing the proximity of various bacterial strains and fungal hyphae to the root hairs. So for a biofertilizer, you really need that that proximity to absorb the root exudates that the plant is feeding to the microbial colonies. As these colonies grow, swell, die, and stabilize, they will utilize nutrients from the surrounding soil particles. As they die, that will be made available into the soil solution for nutrient uptake right at the root hair. So it can be a very convenient way to get minerals out of mineral-rich soils that may be bound up tightly, or through construction of an auxiliary root network like we see in the image on the right. We have a pine sapling here with several root hairs that are kind of plainly visible. The primary and secondary root hairs are, but all of the rest of that surrounding area is filled with an auxiliary root network that a fungal strain provided, and that can radically increase the surface area that is used for nutrient uptake, for water uptake, and can build up the organic matter levels in the soil over time by fixing all that carbon right in the root zone. So this is kind of the general idea behind biofertilizers, and I've included some images from our CCA handbook that we've kind of utilized over in the past, and because I think that these three nutrient cycles are all missing the importance and not emphasizing the importance of biological activity in these cycles and with applied fertilizers as well. So whether you're talking about nitrogen and the mineralization of organic matter to ammonium for plant uptake, that's a microbial process, and we should be fostering our microbial species in order to do so effectively. For the phosphorus or potassium cycles, whether it's there's various microbes that are used in for nutrient availability for tightly bound particles on soil colloids through acidolysis, through their microbial reproductive processes throughout mitosis and through their normal metabolic processes, they will make these nutrients available for plant uptake by releasing acids to break the apart tightly bound minerals or to utilize organic compounds in the soil. So we had some formatting issues, but to that end, these microbial species have all been selected in Bioseed as a consortium for their particular modes of action. Now, Pinobacillus azotofixans are efficient atmospheric nitrogen fixers, so that was their reason for selection. Bacillus megatherium is one of the largest Bacillus species, and as such has a high need for phosphates for their phospholipid bilayer to be able to expand and occupy all that size. They became very efficient at solubilizing phosphates in the soil that are bound up. So hence their selection. Bacillus mucilaginosus is one of those microbial species that through its metabolic processes releases an acid that will help to break off potassium from its soil colloid or through or wherever it gets bound up in the soil. Subtilis is an efficient organic matter solubilizer. It will, or a mineralizer, excuse me. It will help to convert organic matter very efficiently into ammonium form. And hidden on the bottom there is a popular strain called Trichoderma harzianum. And we selected that to help kind of expand and occupy that root zone as we saw in that pine sapling. That's a rhizosphere competent fungal strain that will create an auxiliary fungal network to help increase the organic matter levels and to maximize the surface area that the plant is utilizing in the soil. So some of the benefits that we've seen with this product, when we designed it, we really needed to focus on NP and K because we knew that as early adopters of biological technologies, we needed to make sense to the grower in a way that really kind of resonated with them, and nutrient credits is, we found, the easiest way to do that. So we focused on NP and K and making sure that we can get fertilizers that are put down or particles that are already available in the soil available for nutrient uptake. And through the mineralization and rhizosphere occupation of trichoderma, we kind of balance out the carbon-nitrogen ratios. We're not just mining the organic matter with additional species, we're actually have a net positive effect on the soil organic matter levels over long-term use of bioseed. One of the main benefits due to the market segmentation of the vegetable market, like Sean Mean touched on, is the fact that bioseed's not crop specific. As long as it has a host, it does not really, we haven't seen it be picky on what crop or what rhizosphere is occupying. As long as there is some exudation there to foster those species, they will thrive and continue their normal modes of action through their metabolic processes. These are facultative gram-positive strains. For a biological seed treatment, one of the issues that you could run into is if you treat your seed, plant into a cold, wet spring, get nothing but anaerobic conditions for 3 weeks. Bioseed strains will switch to anaerobic respiration and keep their counts stable on the seed piece until conditions improve, until the soil temperatures rise and the soil's drained out a little bit more and you get more anaerobic respiration. So it's versatile and durable in that way. Has a 1 year shelf life, possibly longer. We're testing some 18-month-old product right now, and so far the results are very promising. And this product does not need to be refrigerated, which is a problem that we've encountered in other biological products that we've tested in the past. Other third-party products needed to be put in the fridge, and so a grower would, you know, he'd be all on board to utilize this new technology. He'd put the biological species in his fridge in the lunchroom and walk right by it, get planting, and completely forget about the product. So we had to make sure that we checked all those boxes in order for grower adoption with these technologies. As a seed treatment or as a drench at planting or drip irrigation, bioseed's kind of versatile in that way, and it needs to be for the vegetable seed market, as Sean Ming had said. You need to be flexible and go with grower conditions. If they decide they're going to do plugs instead of seeds, you just have to kind of roll with that and be able to make yourself utilized. We use a low rate with bioseed. The 50 gram per acre rate is the drench and drip rate. We usually go around 0.3% of seed weight for a biological seed treatment. And compared to a lot of other products in the market, in terms of at least at the drench and the drip application methods, that's a fairly low rate. And that 50 gram per acre rate comes retails at $12.50 per acre. So it's fairly cost effective for the consortium that you're getting and for the benefit that you see in the field. It's an Army-listed product and has been for about 3 years now and is NOP certified as well. And we've made it very export friendly. So at that 50 gram per acre rate, 1 kilogram, which is a tube that one package that we have, it's about that wide and that tall, that kilogram will treat 20 acres. And that can go just about anywhere fairly cost effectively. And we have packaging that goes down to 100 gram per acre rate. So that's a less than 1 hectare for overseas markets. And that's been crucial in adoption in smallholder farm systems. So we do a lot of work in East Africa and in Central America with smallholder farmers, and being able to cater to that size makes it more cost effective for the growers in that region. So some of the results that we'll briefly touch on. This is a tomato trial in Salinas. We had a grower standard fungicide on the far left here with a grower standard fungicide and a plant growth hormone on the second box. We used 0.1% seed weight for the third box there that kind of got messed up in terms of alignment, and a 0.2% of seed weight on the far right side. And what we saw was around the day 14 mark, we started to see an increase in leaf area index and in seedling vigor, which continued through. This photo was taken at day 19, but throughout the production of these seedlings, we saw a deeper green in the leaves and a higher surface area in that leaf tissue. Some more results that we've had as seed treatments and as drenches at planting. Soybeans, we had a 13.7 bushel increase over control. Corn, we had 20 bushel. Green beans, 1,100 pounds, a little bit more than that. Nearly a ton per acre increase on tomatoes at a drench and a 30 days after planting. Now, we've been experimenting with a single and double application, and on some cropping systems for tomatoes, especially at a higher value market price, we're able to go at a double rate and hit the $25 per acre mark, which is still undervalued for biological products. Done some with third-party products as well in California. So we did a soil drench with our inoculate and two foliar applications of a biostimulant type product and had a 92 box increase over control for cabbage. And same program for strawberries with a few more follow-up applications of a biostimulant and got 338 trays. And those two increases will net 2,200 or 2,600 per acre in these particular trials. And the overall program cost for bioseed was $12.50 for the cabbage, $12.50 for the strawberries, and the third-party product was another $20 on top of that. So very cost-effective for the results that we've seen so far. We have five ongoing hemp trials right now done through the IR4 program. We have plenty of fertilizer reduction trials to see if we can cut back on fertilizer rates and still maintain or increase productivity. We have some large-scale almond trials. We've done apples as well, so we're looking into larger root masses, making sure that we can occupy and expand for a larger area and get some benefit out of the products as well. And we're actively looking for new research opportunities. If this is a product that you're looking and interested in handling, I think my contact info is right here. It's my personal cell phone. We have a booth here as well that we'd love to get in touch and try to organize something for the coming season. So thank you for your time.